Second hour of Darren and Donick here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Titans wide receiver Corey Davis coming up to kick off the third hour of the program. We told you we would have a conversation with Ryan Leaf, and we are about to do that right now. He is on the line with us. He was just in our city a couple days ago delivering a speech at a luncheon, a sold-out luncheon at the Music City Center. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. I hear great things about the event you just put on, and where people are really moved by it. Like I said, sold out, packed house. Tell everybody why you were in our town a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was there just to speak to your community, and in particular, it was a fundraiser for a local program called Dismiss House, and it's a program for formerly incarcerated individuals for when they transition out of prison, and how difficult that can be, walking back into a community, back into society, and doing the next right thing and being accepted and given a second chance. And I think it's just a great program. I was exactly in that same spot 4.5 years ago, and I had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't have a lot of prospects on the horizon for me. People weren't asking me to come give keynote speeches in Nashville. So it took a lot of work. It took a lot of faith from people in my community and people who supported me, and I wanted to be able to do that for Gerald Brown and the community of Nashville.
Ryan, it's such a huge issue, and it's something that, and I'll give you my perspective. I remember sitting in a college sociology class, and one of the things that was talked about was, you know, how often it happens where somebody comes out of prison, how prone they are to end up back in prison. And I honestly, at that point in my life, I don't think I had ever thought about that. I just thought, well, once you get out of prison, you're out of prison. But it's so much more than that, right? I mean, it's so much more.
Yeah, you develop this institutionalization, it's not a deterrent, right? You get out and no one gives you an opportunity, which there are consequences for your actions, of course. So it's going to be hard work, but you have the choice of dealing with it in a healthy way. And I think that's the biggest point. The recidivism rate in our country is over 50%. Let's put it this way. There was 88 individuals on my cell block back where I was at, and 86 of which have either gotten out or never got out and have come back. There's only been two of us who stayed out. So we're the exception. The rule is you go out, you get out, you go back. It just becomes a recyclable thing and a vicious cycle. So we want to try to end that. And what Gerald and Dismiss House is doing in Nashville is a perfect example of that. And our values matched up completely. So it was just an honor for me to be able to speak to the community. And really, I listened to a few of the guys that were in the house at the time right now. And boy, their stories are so inspirational. And they're really just like mine. And I think that's important for me to stand in front of them and tell them, hey, I'm just like you, regardless of if I played in the NFL or had all this and had all that. I still was able to go to the same place as any other human being can, because we're all the same.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you lived it, and so that's part of it. But your name, it goes further, and people recognize the name and the voice, so you have a power to get a message out there. But you didn't have to do this, Ryan, even though you know all of this and you went through all of this. So why did you decide to do some really good things by going down this path?
Well, you know, it's my mentors. My mentors, the guys that I met and I sought out after I got out. I went and asked them how they got the life that they had. And that was one of peace and serenity. And they told me how they got it, and I followed their direction verbatim. And this is one of them. They say you can't keep this peaceful, unchaotic life unless you give it away. And by that, by going out and sharing your story, trying to be an impact, trying to be of service to your fellow human being, that's the only way I get to keep this peaceful, unchaotic life. And you're right. My name is going to resonate every April. It's going to continue, especially with me being in the media platform now as well, commenting on college football and the NFL and things like that. So it's going to continue, and I thought I might as well just take the power back from it and use it to the best of my ability to make an impact on everybody else. And it's it's been very fruitful and given me a very grateful life so far.
Good for you. Ryan Leaf on the line with us, the two of us. I guess this means we're getting older, or getting, some would say, getting old. Both of us were at Vanderbilt Stadium covering the game, which I guess it was then the Tennessee Oilers versus the San Diego Chargers.
Opening, at least a home opener for for the Oilers.
And you were the quarterback, and you actually you won that game against the Oilers. Nashville's changed a bit since 1998, hasn't it?
It has. And ironically, I've been asked to come back to Nashville a number of times. In fact, over the last 3 years, it's been the place where I've spoken the most. I'm going to be back in July and back in October to speak. My father wanted to go down to Nashville in March for his 70th birthday party as a whole family, so we were there. I had planned on being out there for the draft, but I had another commitment that I had. So, yeah, Nashville is just a wonderful community. You know, I think there's just a feeling around country music, right, that just kind of gives you that kind of down-home country feeling, and Nashville turns it into something. I talked to one of the drivers when I was going to the airport and heard about how Nashville's become this bachelorette and bachelor party mecca, and the biggest comment was it's just the people feel safe. You know, they know that at all hours of the night, they feel safe in your town. And I think that's a testament to everybody who lives there and makes your community great.
Yeah, we're no longer known for country music. We're known for scooters, pedal taverns, and bachelorette parties.
The pedal taverns, man, those are full go there, I tell you what.
We were having I wanted to run this by you because we've been talking about this a lot, and I want to go through your quarterback eyes and just ask you, when you see Marcus Mariota, you see what?
I see a leader, and that's what you always need in the NFL. I think a lot of undue pressure is placed upon quarterbacks in the NFL. It's going to happen, but you guys have a good one, and he's capable of doing things like we saw 2 years ago in Kansas City. You know, he's making the next step. I feel like last year really kind of went backwards a little bit, but we found out more and more how banged up he was, and that's always the biggest thing. So the first thing I think about him is leadership, and a meaningful role model in your community. I think that's what you need. This team has to be about everybody. It has to be a nucleus. It can't just be about Marcus, right? It has to be about everybody. It has to be about a running game. Henry's been amazing. They need to do a better job on the perimeters of the wide receiver position. I think with Mike Vrabel in that defense, I think they're going to be a different impact on defense. I think that first week, everybody's talking about the Cleveland Browns. I think everybody's going to have a different thing to say after week one when Tennessee shows Cleveland what that division or what that conference is all about.
We're talking to former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf, and he is telling his story. He has just spoken to a group here in Nashville. And Ryan, your travels have taken you to a lot of different places, speaking to a lot of different groups. I notice here you got to actually get a chance to go down and talk to the Alabama football program at one point. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah. Nick Saban was the first coach to reach out. So that kind of just tells you where his mindset is and how open-minded and where he sees things going. And I was able to go down there and speak to his football program. And then what that does is, by him asking me to do that, I just become a referral to every other coach in the country.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to follow him up. So, you know, this fall I'm at Clemson. Every August, I just take kind of a tour of the college campuses and speak to football programs, just not necessarily telling them what not to do or what to do. It's just my story and what can happen. You know, both things can be true. You can be the second overall pick in the NFL draft and a famous millionaire and also become a drug addict and go to prison, right? I mean, both things can happen. It's life. 'Cause at 19, 20, 21 years old, you hear my story and you go, that's an awesome story, but that will never happen to me. And I'm able to say, well, yeah, well, which part? You're not going to be the junkie felon, or you're not going to be the famous football playing millionaire in the NFL. So it's a good story. It captures their attention. Coaches really like that. They like to see the engagement. And then when I try to stay in contact with the team, over the years after I leave, just so there's some consistency when things happen.
In order to do what you're doing, you had to get to a point where you were open about being willing to talk about the struggles that you've had. When did you get to that point? When did you get secure enough and comfortable enough that you said, you know what, I'm okay opening up and telling everybody this because I can help people?
Well, it's been an evolution, right? I mean, the negativity of what existed, you know, shook me to my core. It just took me to the very bottom. I went to a prison cell because I wasn't able to deal with life on life's terms. So it's taken a long time, and it's still evolving, right? You know, it's emotionally exhausting to go tell the story, of course, but I understand the feedback I get, people who reach out and get help and the lives that are changed, that's validation enough. I'm not there to say, hey, everybody, look how great I am doing. You know, that's not what it's about. In fact, it can never be about me again. It has to be about the individual that is out there that needs help and needs maybe somebody who crashed all the way to the bottom to not go to the same place. So it's ever evolving. I was in my hometown for the first time speaking since my incarceration. It was difficult, but I've found the humility, which I believe is the understanding of who you are, regardless of what anybody else thinks. And I think that even though things have been going well the last few years, I think I really was able to take a good hard look at myself when I was back home speaking to my home community and realizing that, you know what, I'm in that place where it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me, says about me or anything. It's I understand who I am, and I'm okay with the guy I'm looking at in the mirror every morning.
Fantastic stuff. Now, your hometown, I believe, is Great Falls, Montana. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So I can tell you, Ryan, I spent a summer, and who knows, maybe you were kicking around the town. It would be the summer of 93 in the Pioneer League as a member of the Medicine Hat Blue Jays. We were in the same division as the Great Falls Dodgers. So we spent many I think we played 18 times over the summer or something. We were wearing out the path from Canada to Great Falls and all those towns in Montana. What a great experience that was for me. It is a different place, isn't it, right? It's just that whole countryside. It's just unbelievably scenic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm really, really grateful to be from there. And you're right, I was. I was probably at a ton of your games. I would go there, Raul Mondesi and that Caros, Ramon Martinez, Pedro Martinez, all came through there in Great Falls when I was growing up. So I mean, it was neat to be able to check out those guys. And so yeah, it definitely was. I was going into my senior year of high school that summer.
Yeah, I probably got heckled by Ryan Leaf. I didn't even know it because I was I think I was hitting about 195 in a lot of those games.
Who's that bum at first? Hey, Ryan.
I don't think I've ever been a heckler, I'll tell you that. So.
Hey, really appreciate the visit. That's really cool that you're coming back for a couple more visits. If you ever want us to get the word out, we'll be more than happy to help. We'd love to talk to you again down the road. How about we talk some college football, too, the next time we speak? We appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're really getting ramped up, about 100 days out from college football, so getting pretty excited. Going to take a little vacation here for the next couple weeks, but then when I get back, you know, it's on and popping with college football and prepping for that. So definitely, guys.
Go enjoy your time with your family. Have a good vacation. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, you do the same. That is Ryan Leaf. Really good conversation.
Great
there.
Stuff.
A couple days ago, he was here at the Music City Center. There were 650 people you heard him talk about at the beginning of the interview, and now he's trying to help people that have been locked up, and life afterwards is not easy. Everybody thinks, oh, well, you're out, you're free. Hey, everything's great. No, doesn't work that way. It's not like everybody's lining up to hire you and
exactly.
Help you. And so there's a lot that goes into it. And he is speaking to those folks trying to help them. And he just did that a couple of days ago in our city. And as he just told us, we'll be back a couple more times for speaking engagements. We'll come back more of Darren and Donick on the other side, 102.5 The Game.